Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7.
Genuine joy to be back at West Huntsville. I still remember Byron Laird, one of the finest men I've ever known. We have a number of guests this morning, and it's a genuine joy to have you present this morning. There's a clause in Philippians 2 verse 6 that amounts to a command. In nothing be anxious. That's a command. Now, we know the value of the Lord's commandments and our responsibility relative thereto. I remember that Jesus said to the rich young ruler, under the law, Matthew 19, verse 17, if thou wouldst enter into life, keep the commandments. And with regard to religious-minded, dedicated, sincere people, Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Oh, he said, many will come unto me in that day and say, hey, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? In thy name cast out demons, in thy name do many mighty works. Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Keeping the Lord's command. Luke 6, verse 46, he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He isn't the Lord of your life until in humble obedience you enthrone him in your heart. I remember the wise man said in Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, last two verses. He said, this is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And if you are familiar with that, you know the word duty is in italics, not in the text. What is he saying? Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole of man. Nothing else matters. Everything here will pass, but you and I will live until God dies. Yeah, but God won't die, right? There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We know the value of the Lord's commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, may enter in by the gates into the city. Verse 14, Revelation chapter 22. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 5 at verse 3. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John chapter 14 at verse 15. Now, with regard to the commandments of the Lord, there are some that are external and some that are internal. Some are visible, some we don't see quite so well. For instance, when one by faith is baptized into Christ, a child is born into the family of God, an occasion of great praise and thanksgiving to the Almighty who has given to sinners the hope of eternal... No, not a matter of hand clapping. That's a home run or a touchdown. That's in the physical realm. This is spiritual. It's a time of thanksgiving, heartfelt love for the Lord. We see that. When one is baptized into Christ, we see that take place. But I remember Matthew 22, verse 39. Jesus, in speaking to that lawyer, said with regard to the second commandment, he said, it's this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I see the results of that, your relationship and attitude toward and action with regard to your neighbor, but I do not know the depth of love that you hold in your heart for your neighbor. So there are commands that are obvious and some that are not quite so readily visible. Be anxious about nothing. Do you know anyone in violation of that commandment? Well, I'm sure you do. They're worrying. Worry is an exercise in absolute futility. It is of no value at all. It is only destructive to the person who does it. Well, someone says, preacher, man, if you're not worried, you don't know what's going on, even in our country today. I mean, founded upon biblical principle, while all of our forefathers were not Christian, they believed the Word of God. And they drew up the Constitution. on the basis that all men are created equal. I'm in the Bill of Rights, and we are in danger of changing much of that. We have people in responsible position in our government today who want to take God out of the government and out of our schools. Oh, that's true. No question about that. Yeah, we have men in positions of trust who are robbing older people of the only source of income they have. They put that money in a foreign bank, never look back. I mean, all kinds of... the Christian has one responsibility to civil government. Doesn't make any difference what kind of government it is. Totalitarian, democratic, doesn't really matter. Let every soul be in subjection to the powers that be. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore, he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. Rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. Oh, if thou wouldst have no fear of the power, do that which is good, thou shalt have praise from the same. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He is a minister of God and avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. Therefore you must needs be in subjection, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause you pay taxes, tribute. Romans 13, beginning at verse 1. Be in subjection to the powers that be. Right. You see, the Christian is the best citizen in any government. He lives within the framework of existing authority. Has respect for the ruler. Preacher, what I'm saying is, man, even the freedom of speech that we've enjoyed, is in danger of being removed. I mean, we are today sanctioning every kind of immorality and ungodliness. This government has gotten away from morality. The Christian is never left without a proper course of action. Acts 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than man. Yeah, but preacher, there's going to come a time when you can't preach what you preach on television. I mean, you mention the homosexual and you talk about that being sin. While we are going to sanction that kind of thing, and that kind of talk is going... We must obey God rather than man. Well, someone says, yeah, and they'll throw you into prison. Right. You're aware that many of Paul's epistles were written from prison? You do know that he sent greetings from the Praetorian Guard? Yeah. From the Roman soldiers? They sent greetings to the... Yeah, they were chained to him, couldn't get away, talk to him. Many of them, he convinced, couldn't have done that if he hadn't been in prison. They wouldn't have been present. Oh, he also sent greetings from Caesar's household. Caesar's household? I mean, why would they send greetings to the... those slaves and servants came down and no doubt brought food and water and cleaned up the place and so on. He preached to them. And some of them were convinced and obeyed the Lord. He couldn't have done that if he hadn't been in prison. You see, the only relationship that you have that's important is to God Almighty. In prison, out of prison, makes no difference. Dedicate your life to the Lord. But let me tell you something else. Many people today are deeply concerned about world conditions. I mean, we're in danger of imminent terrorism. I mean, right. And let me tell you something else. If a fellow is willing to die to kill you, he's going to succeed. Yes, sirree. If he targets you and he's willing to die to kill you, you're dead. You know, that's... Well, somebody says, preacher, that's terrible. I dare say that North Korea has the atomic bomb and one or two other negative countries are developing it and advancing rather rapidly. And they're also developing the intercontinental ballistic missile. You can put an atomic warhead on that thing, snap it off that North Island and right across the Pacific, dead center, San Francisco. Well, preacher, that's what I'm saying. Man, that's enough to worry you to death. If you really have the kind of worry we need, you need to stand on the Golden Gate Bridge, and when that missile comes up, send that worry up there. Pow! And blow that. What's worry got to do with it? Worry is a sin. Do you recall Matthew 24. We don't have time for it. We'll just paraphrase. The Lord's leaving the temple area. The disciples come to him to show him the magnificent buildings and stones of the day. He said, see you not all these things. There shall not be left you one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Knocked them dead. He crossed the valley, sat down on a hill over there, the Kidron Valley, and up on the mountain. They came to him and said, Lord, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They thought they were asking one question. They asked three, and he answered them in order. He said, see that no man lead you astray. Many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ. And you hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Kingdom shall rise against kingdom, nation against nation. There will be famines and earthquakes in divers places. Oh, this is the beginning of travail. Oh, and they'll deliver you up, and some of you they'll put to death. False teachers shall arise and lead many astray. Brother shall deliver up brother. Then he said in verses 12 and 13, and because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, preacher, that's what I'm saying, though. Man, how much value and how much change have you observed in response to your worry? Well, preacher, you just say we should just fold our hands and just la-la-la-la, you know, not be concerned. Let me tell you something. If there's one thing God Almighty teaches in His book, it's this. The Christian is never unconcerned. He is always deeply concerned. Well, someone says, that's what I'm saying. I mean, these things worry me. Listen to the text. In nothing be anxious, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The result? Oh, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. You know, it's kind of like the fellow that was in a gospel meeting visiting, but he's just halfway dancing down the street, and he was whistling, had his hands in his pocket, and brother recognized him, and he yelled at him, called him by name, and said, brother, said, you sound like you own the world. Oh, said, I don't, but my father does. Who's in control? Man, I'm a fast gun. I'm top gun. You're a mud ball with a necktie. God Almighty is my Father. Concerned about worldly conditions, sir. What do you do with it? Take it to God and leave it. I can't handle it. No. Well, it'd be, sinful for me to work. You know, we're to pray about these things. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in its working, James 5, verse 16. Oh, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, I desire the supplications, prayers, and intercessions be made known for all men, for kings and those in high place, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. What am I to do? Talk to my Father. He's in control. I talk to my Father who's in control. I've dedicated my life to Him. Worry, that's out of the question. But walk the streets. Look people in the eye. You'll see people today that are just almost worried sick. And notwithstanding the fact that the Lord said, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Right? Casting some of your care upon Him, casting a little of your care upon Him, worry about the rest of it at casting all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Oh, then, I shouldn't worry. Well, then, you remember the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus said, therefore, I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Behold the birds of the heavens. They sow not, neither do they reap and gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they? Now listen. And which of you by being anxious can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? Worry is absolutely useless. And it's destructive to the worrier. And why are you concerned with raiment? Behold the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God doth so adorn the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Where is the sin? We don't need to work. No. He didn't say, I'm to fold my hands, sit down, the Lord's going to feed me. No. If any man won't work, neither let him eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Let our people learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. It's through work that God supplies our daily necessities. As a matter of fact, you remember when he created the perfection of Eden. Do you remember what he said to Adam? Go to work, boy. What? Dress and keep the garden. The most miserable creature on God's earth is an able-bodied man that has nothing to do. Work is a part of my happiness and fulfillment and joy. Oh, and it is also a source of income. And God blesses that kind of diligence. Ah, indeed. Well, somebody says, preacher, how am I going to keep from worrying? Remove the cause. Yeah? Remove the cause. You see, worry is a lack of faith. Any way you want to slice it, worry is a lack of faith. Romans 8, verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. And now somebody said, preacher, you'll have to, alter that to all things. Every word of God is tried. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Don't you change God's word. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Well, somebody said, preacher, I know some faithful Christians, and the things that have happened to them are not... Oh, you're talking in the physical realm. It's not going to last. Healthiest person that ever lived is going to die. Appointed unto man wants to die. Hebrews 9, 27. Stroll through the cemetery is adequate. No, it's the latter portion of that verse. After this, the judgment. Oh, the judgment is based upon thus saith the Lord. Right. Where should I put my confidence? That stuff's already worn out. I mean, it doesn't even function like it went. Remove the cause. Well, now somebody said, preacher, all things work together. If you need verification of that, just drop down three verses. Verse 31 of Romans chapter 8. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? You know the answer to that? Who cares? Making a difference who's against you. If God's for you, whoever's against you is going to lose. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not he also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Jesus Christ who died, was buried, raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, anguish, nakedness, famine, peril, sword, even as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We were accounted a sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The end of the chapter, verse 39. You either believe it or you don't. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Well, that removes worry when I put my faith in the Lord. And to remove worry, you have to become as a little child. You remember when the disciples were discussing greatness in the kingdom? Matthew 18. He put a little child in the midst of them. He said, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I'm 81. I'm just a child. Ooh, and a dumb one. Oh, me. Fall short, little child. Yeah, but what's the figure here? What's he talking about? Oh. I remember 1933. My dad obtained a job, hard work. Worked 12 hours a day, made 10 cents an hour, $1.20 for a 12-hour day of hard work. filled my car up some time ago, and a little Matt and I found out that my dad would have had to work 6 1/2 weeks at hard labor to fill my car up that one time. And that was before it went to 360 a gallon. But it didn't worry me. Hey, 1933, I was just 7. Born 1926. Why, the very idea I did. No, no. My dad had a wife and 5 children. Hey, he was glad to get that job. Then, if my dad and I had been walking down a jungle trail, and suddenly a saber-toothed tiger stepped out ahead of us, it wouldn't bother me. I just stepped behind my dad and hugged his legs. I'll guarantee if he couldn't kill it, he'd have talked it to death. Yes, sir. He'd have got us out of that thing. Oh, that's a little child. It become as a little child. How can I do that? Put my trust in him, the source of all blessings. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. James chapter 1 at verse 17. Isn't that wonderful? It puts the kingdom of God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 33. Put your faith, your trust in the Lord. Yeah, but somebody says, suppose somebody slanders you. So, blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. 10 through 12, Matthew chapter 5. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, but somebody says, suppose somebody should rob you. You ever read the book of Job? Richest of all the children of the East, a man of wisdom. When he sat in the gate and spoke, men listened. They paid attention. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 brood jennies, great household of servants, 7 sons and 3 daughters, and in 1 hour, every bit of it was wiped out. All of it is gone. Shaved his head. He rent his garments. He fell on the ground. He said, Jehovah giveth. Jehovah hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. In all this, Job sinned not, neither charged God foolishly with his lips. Why not? God feeds him. God is the source of all blessings. You don't own the world. The earth and the fullness thereof belong to God. You may think, I've just lost you, I haven't lost anything. If you maintain your faith in God Almighty, he feeds you every day. And if you have the earth and its wealth and lose your soul, you don't know where you came from, where you were going, what you should have been doing. You know what the Lord said? Matthew 16, verse 26. For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world? Lose a soul. Miss the whole point. Don't know what life is all about. Friend, put your trust in God Almighty, he will supply. Say, read this book every day. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you'll read this book every day, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. You'll see how God deals with man. No, we don't escape the negative circumstances of life. Oh, physically, we're subject to every kind of disease and difficulty and backset and hardship, terminal illness that confronts everyone else. But that's in this physical world. That's not important. That's not who I am. I'm an immortal spirit made in the image and the likeness of God, possessed of free moral agency. That's why there were 2 trees in the perfection of Eden. One to life, one to death. Same decision. No 2 trees. Heaven to gain, hell to shun. Put your faith in God Almighty. Quit worry. Quit worry. Your worry is of no value at all. Faith in Jesus Christ is made manifest. Turning from the practice of sin, confessing his name before men, being buried with him in baptism. Or you're raised a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. To walk in newness of life. Romans 6 verse 4. You're now under the protective custody of the blood of Christ. You're a child of God. Put your trust in him. Worry is a sin. A lot could be said, and I've said too much already. If you're subject this morning in any way as a child of God, needing the prayers of the brethren, sisters in Christ, we're family. That's why we're here. Come, make your wishes known while together we stand and sing. Oh, God.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.